Thought Leadership Studio.
You're listening to Thought Leadership Studio, the podcast that helps you master high-level positive mass influence to create distinctive business niches, captivate an audience, grow your following, and change the game by changing the frame with strategic thought leadership.
Thought Leadership Studio.
Welcome back to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach and consultant. And this is episode 91, the first workshop style episode without a guest in a while. It's called The Mapmaker's Adventure in Thought Leadership, a masterclass on mental models for strategic thought leadership, charting new territories, how thought leaders reshape mental models, create influence, and redefine success. What this episode will do for you is reimagine thought leadership as charting new territories. Discover how great thought leaders are like master map makers, creating conceptual frameworks that empower others to explore new possibilities. Break free from conventional thinking by learning why simply repackaging old ideas isn't enough and how true thought leadership requires pushing beyond the known into uncharted intellectual territory. Shift mental models for greater influence. Understanding how shifting your audience's mental maps changes their perception of success, positioning you as the most trusted guide in your field. Transform expertise into systemic influence, moving beyond sharing knowledge to shaping the way your audience thinks and makes decisions, creating lasting impact in your industry. To learn from market leaders who redefined their categories, companies like Amazon, Tesla, and Apple who didn't just compete, they changed the rules by shifting how people thought about their industries. And create a larger system of influence by discovering why great thought leaders focus not just on content, but on how their ideas evolve in the minds of the audience over time and drive real transformation. But before we dive into this episode further, let me share the purpose behind Thought Leadership Studio, especially if you're new here. I'm Chris McNeil, developer of The Thought Process of Strategic Thought Leadership and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership, set to release in May 2025. This podcast and the book are designed to challenge conventional thinking about marketing and influence, offering a deeper exploration of ideas that can empower you to create breakthroughs in your own marketing and leadership journey. Strategic thought leadership doesn't lend itself to an elevator pitch because it challenges the dominant marketing model. It shifts the focus from treating prospects as targets to listening deeply to their learning needs and creating empowering content that helps them make better decisions and derive greater value. And also leads them to revere the unique attributes of your offering. And that's why I created this podcast, to offer a space for exploring these transformative ideas and to help you self-select into the opportunities that resonate most with your goals. And a key part of this learning process is providing models of excellence, which is why I interview remarkable individuals who excel in areas relevant to strategic thought leadership. Their stories and strategies serve as powerful examples, offering practical insights you can adapt to elevate your own influence and impact. And if today's episode sparks something in you, if you sense the potential for greater clarity, purpose, or success, I invite you to schedule a free consultation with me. It's an opportunity to explore how strategic thought leadership can amplify your results. You can visit the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com, linked in the description, to access resources like my free ebook, Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, and additional content designed to support your growth. In this workshop-style episode, I'm excited to talk about mental models and thought leadership. I'm Chris McNeil, Strategic Thought Leadership Coach and Consultant, creator of The Thought Process of Strategic Thought Leadership and author of the upcoming book, Strategic Thought Leadership, and your guide on this journey of intellectual exploration. Mental models, often referred to as belief systems or paradigms, are frameworks through which we interpret and interact with the world. They influence our perceptions, decisions, and actions. Understanding and refining these models is crucial for effective strategic thought leadership. So in today's episode, we embark on a metaphorical voyage into the art and science of thought leadership, where ideas evolve beyond filler content to become strategically designed maps that shape the way people navigate their world. Traditional thought leadership focuses on demonstrating expertise, but true influence comes from shifting mental models and redefining the landscapes of choice for your audience. So join me as we set sail beyond the edges of conventional thinking and explore how you can become the map maker of your industry, guiding your audience to new horizons of success.
Thought Leadership Studio.
You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. R. Buckminster Fuller. Imagine an old world seafaring town where the salt air spiced the hum of bustling markets under the warm golden glow of oil lamps in the early evening. Here the ocean was more than a mere route of travel or source of sustenance. It was a symbol of boundless freedom and possibility. Young sailors, their hearts restless with longing, dreamed of venturing into uncharted waters, their imaginations fueled by tales of adventure, untold riches, and new horizons yet to be claimed. And at the heart of this maritime world was an essential trade, map making. The town was renowned for its master craftsmen, skilled artisans who had for generations turned the chaos of the unknown into orderly charts, adorned with inked coastlines, intricate compass roses, and warnings of unseen perils. These maps were the lifeblood of exploration, guiding merchants, adventurers, and explorers across treacherous seas. Yet as the years passed, the map-making trade had begun to stagnate. The problem with old maps. The issue wasn't a lack of skill. These were some of the finest cartographers in the known world, nor is it a failure of artistry. Their maps are beautiful, decorated with intricate embellishments, and enclosed in ornate packaging fit for royalty. But therein lay the problem. Most of the maps weren't entirely new. They were adaptations of older ones. Each generation of mapmakers copied the last, adding flourishes but rarely questioning whether the underlying information still effectively reflected reality. The inked coastline stopped where the predecessors had stopped, and beyond those edges lay only speculation, myth, or blank parchment labeled "Here be dragons." Sailors, however, ventured beyond these limits at great risk, braving the shifting currents, hidden reefs, and uncharted islands that no map could guide them through. Yet in the town, few questioned the maps themselves. When ships went missing, the fault was placed on the captains, not on the possibility that the maps they followed were incomplete or misleading. The maps had been passed down for generations, and questioning them felt like questioning the very foundation of the town's trade and expertise. In the dark confines of a bustling tavern, a heated debate often flared among the locals. Who was the better map maker, Jonathan or Luke? The two rivals had spent years competing, not by venturing beyond the known world, but by making the same old maps look more appealing. The embossed them with gold leaf, added lavish borders and branded themselves as the premier navigation experts. And for a time, it worked. Merchants were drawn to the illusion of sophistication, mistaking elegance for accuracy and usefulness. But the sailors who used these maps grew angry. When yet another ship was lost at sea, the weary captain tossed a ruined parchment onto the tavern table and muttered, "What's the use of maps if they don't lead us anywhere new?" A new way of navigating. So one fateful evening, Luke's shop door creaked open and an old man hobbled in. Leaning heavily on a cane, his face bore the wear of decades spent at sea, etched with the lines of storms weathered and dangers survived. He unfurled a tattered map onto the counter and let out a long sigh. "Forget your gilded frames and your fancy designs," he said, his voice gravelly with salt and wisdom. "These maps are useless if they can't guide us to the new lands. You want to make maps that matter? Then stop tracing the old ones and start discovering what's really out there and help us get there." Luke scoffed. "You think I can just leave my shop and sail into uncharted waters? I'm a map maker, not an adventurer." The old sailor leaned in, his eyes burning with something Luke couldn't quite name. "You're not just a map maker. You're a guide, and if you're afraid to leave the safety of your workshop, you'll never create maps that grant true power. The power to explore, to discover, to push beyond what anyone believes is possible." Luke dismissed the man at first, but then grief struck in an unexpected way. He lost two of his uncles in a short time. The first, his uncle Sam, a sailor who had relied on his maps, was lost at sea. Having just heard this news, Luke was still shaken by this loss when a knock came at the door. A grim-faced policeman stood on the steps. "We're sorry, but your Uncle Fred died at the Guinness Brewery where he worked." Luke buried his head in his hands and asked between sobs, "Did he go quickly?" The policeman hesitated. "No, sir. He got out to pee 3 times. Luke sat there, torn between sorrow and disbelief, feeling the weight of loss pressing down on him. 2 uncles gone in the same week. One to the ocean, one to a large vat of Guinness. Well, at least that one didn't suffer too much. As the shock faded, the old sailor's words echoed in his mind. What if the maps were wrong? What if the problem wasn't careless sailors or unpredictable waters, but the fact that the maps themselves had been copied and recopied so many times, they no longer reflected the best path to a given destination? Determined, Luke made the decision no map maker in the town had dared before. He would set sail himself. The night before his journey, Luke sat at his cluttered workbench, the soft glow of a lantern casting shadows over quills, parchment, and half-drawn coastlines. He traced his fingers over the smooth brass of his well-worn compass, its needle quivering, always seeking true north. "I need to stop copying the old maps," he whispered to himself. "If I want to chart something meaningful, I need to do some discovery. I need to walk or sail the path myself." Luke's voyage was fraught with challenges. He faced storms that tore at the sails, currents that dragged the ship off course, and dangers that no chart had ever recorded. But as he ventured further, he saw what the old mapmakers never had. The world did not stay still. Islands were not exactly where the old maps had placed them. Tides and trade winds shifted, carving new paths across the ocean surface. And while the edges of inked coastlines remained static on parchment, the reality of the sea was ever-changing, and there were yet other lands beyond which the mapmakers of old had charted. One night, as he stood at the helm beneath the vast sky littered with stars, a revelation struck him. The old maps relied too much on copying past observations, but the stars were different. They were a living navigational system, a way to move forward that transcended the limits of aging maps. So what if map-making wasn't about preserving what had already been charted, but about creating systems that help sailors navigate in real time, adapting, recalibrating, and discovering new routes as they went? Returning with a new map, when Luke returned to the town, he wasn't just a map-maker anymore. He was a navigator, an explorer, a thought leader in his field. His new maps weren't just more detailed versions of old ones. They included adjustable reference points using celestial markers and dynamic coastal observations that made them far more useful to a sailor than any static chart. Sailors who used these maps reached destinations that had once seemed impossible. They no longer sailed blindly past the edges of outdated coastlines. They read the stars, adjusted course, and discovered riches beyond imagination. Luke no longer focused on mere repackaging, became a trusted guide, celebrated for his willingness to push beyond the comfort zone and explore the unknown. Because maps aren't just drawings of the past, they're tools for the future. And the best maps don't just show what's already known, they light the way to what's yet to be discovered. And we are all map makers. The map is not the territory, and the name is not the thing named. Alfred Korzybski. We navigate through maps, not directly through reality. The mapmaker's factory had become a symbol of stagnation in this story, but maps themselves aren't bad. As I mentioned, we are all mapmakers in a sense. On one level of metaphor, the industry had lost its way, not because its artisans lack skill, but because they were trapped in a cycle of repackaging old maps instead of charting new territory. And on another level of metaphor, map making points the way to how to better influence markets and drive positive change and success. Strategic thought leadership isn't about regurgitating maps and better packaging. It's about better mapping in general. And to create better maps, we first have to recognize that we are all already navigating through them, whether we realize it or not. We don't experience reality, we experience our maps of reality. We like to think that we respond directly to the world, that what we see, hear, and act upon is reality itself, but that's an illusion. In truth, we don't react to the world as it is, we react to the world as we have mapped it. Consensual reality is a map shared by the majority of humans. Every decision we make is shaped by mental models, the internal maps of assumptions, beliefs, and shortcuts we use to interpret complexity. These models define what we perceive, how we interpret information, and what we believe is possible. These maps are not reality itself. They are our representations of reality. And they shape everything from how we do business to how we navigate personal decisions. A sailor doesn't rely solely on instinct. They navigate with charts, compasses, and star maps, tools that translate the ocean into something actionable. A business leader doesn't react to the raw chaos of the market. They use financial models, forecasts, and strategic frameworks to make sense of trends. A customer doesn't evaluate every purchase decision from scratch. They rely on brand perceptions, peer recommendations, and ingrained biases, all of which are mental models shaping their choices. So the question isn't whether or not we're using a map. We all are. The question is, are we following an old inherited map that limits our possibilities, or are we actively shaping better maps, ones that empower our audience to extract more value from our category, make smarter purchasing decisions, or elevate the use of a product or service to fulfill a new and higher purpose? We see the world not as it is, but as a model of the world. And we tend to mistake the model for reality. Danella Meadows. Rewriting the rules. Thought leadership as mental model mastery. If the map is not the territory, then mastering mental models is about shaping the maps people use to navigate their world. Thought leadership isn't about simply sharing expertise. It's about providing better maps, empowering people to make more effective decisions, and redefining what success looks like in your category. At its core, working with mental models expands your freedom and the freedom of your audience. Because when you shape how people think, what you're doing is you're opening new possibilities, revealing new paths, and redefining what's achievable. And there's an undeniable connection. And this is the connection I saw that led me to developing the thought process. It's the leaders who shape thinking in a market segment that become the leaders in market share. The way we see the world, our mental maps, determines what we think is possible. The moment we revise those maps, new opportunities emerge that were invisible before. With strategic thought leadership, you're not just competing for attention. You're creating new paths where none existed before. This is true influence. When you shift mental models, you're not just persuading, you're restructuring the very landscape of choice. It's not about showing off your expertise and hoping for engagement. It's about leading to new mental models that create new ways of thinking and redefine the category for the benefit of your audience. Shifting thought to own the space. Every dominant company didn't just build a great product, they redefined how people thought about their category. Amazon didn't just sell books, they made shopping a digital-first experience. Tesla didn't just make electric cars, they made combustion engines look outdated by bringing the cool factor that didn't previously exist to electric cars. Apple didn't just make computers, they made technology an extension of creative self-expression. These companies didn't just compete, they changed the criteria for success, shifting mental models so that their way of thinking became the standard. So if you only demonstrate your expertise, you might look smart, but your audience won't necessarily care, because working from a structured model that shifts audience thinking for their benefit is what creates impact that you can't miss. Taking in the larger system of your audience's needs and challenges, it becomes clear that thought leadership is about helping them unlock value they couldn't see before, not just impressing them with expertise. So it's not about showcasing how much you know, it's about transforming how your audience thinks and acts, which comes from aligning your message with a strategic framework based on moving mental models from where they currently are, what I call the audience baseline position, to a new, more helpful place that I call your thought leadership position. So working with mental models is a strategic imperative, not just an intellectual exercise. And what does this mean in practical terms? It means not just responding to market trends, but shaping them. Peter Drucker said it, the best way to predict the future is to create it. Let's create it. The best way to sell a product in today's attention economy isn't to sell it directly, but to sell a new and helpful way of thinking that makes your product the obvious choice. This new way of thinking is based on empowering your audience to extract more of what's important to them in your category, which makes your content naturally magnetic. So people keep returning to it, and they become your audience of prospects. How to work with mental models for market leadership and influence. If the map is not the territory, then the key to being strategic with thought leadership is creating better maps. Maps you share with your audience to expand their worldview about your category for their benefit. A successful thought leadership model doesn't just inform. It reshapes the way people see the world, aligning their mental models to help them extract value in their terms. But how do you systematically surface, challenge, and replace mental models to create this transformation and to build an engaged audience around your model? Here's a few ways that I found to have high impact. Step one, inventory the key assumptions in your field. Every industry and profession operates within an invisible framework of assumptions, beliefs that govern people's choices and expectations, and sometimes they grow old and stale without us noticing them. So the first step in shifting market thinking is to expose and articulate these hidden assumptions. How? Just ask, what has to be true for this model to work? And you might discover outdated assumptions like these that are worth challenging. In fitness, if you use extreme dieting, you will lose weight. Some challenges might be, but what kind of weight? Muscle weighs more than fat, and it burns calories while fat's just stored energy, so this slows your metabolism and makes it harder to maintain a healthy weight. And water weight loss through low-carbohydrate dieting will be temporary. In marketing, if you use expensive paid ads, you will generate leads. Some challenges might be, but at what cost? And what conversion ratio? Will we waste resources trying to convert cold leads when contrasted to warmer leads that come from great thought leadership content organically? In education, if you have a traditional degree, you will have professional success. Some challenges might be, does that imply in fields like software development, where traditional education has a hard time keeping up with the pace of innovation? Does it apply to entrepreneurs? Did it stop Steve Jobs or Bill Gates from succeeding? And as you might notice, once you surface these assumptions and get them in the right structure, challenging them becomes easier. Speaking of the right structure, step two is translating these beliefs, these mental models, into if-then and what's called complex equivalent statements. Mental models take the form of cause and effect beliefs, if then, or assumed meanings, complex equivalents. Sounds heady? Let me give you some examples. Once you've identified an assumption, put it into these syntaxes to see its underlying logic and its limitations. So here's some if then statements of cause and effect thinking. Old model, if I post daily on social media, I'll be seen as a thought leader. New model, well, those posts may not resonate unless I create a structured thought leadership model that will shift market thinking and naturally attract attention. Complex equivalent statements are what X means. The old model, being a thought leader means having a large social media following. Or having a large social media following means you're a thought leader. New model, being a thought leader means leading the thinking in a category. And market share follows when you define success differently. So by restructuring or finding the hidden structure in beliefs this way, you create leverage points for transformation. Having a belief system or a mental model in the right syntax is what allows applying multiple language patterns from neurolinguistics that undermine the old mental model, the audience baseline position, and support the new model, the thought leadership position. Here's a few examples of these language patterns applied to create talking points around the thought leadership path that propels an audience away from the limiting model and towards your more empowering model. These are applied to the thought leadership path of the audience baseline position we're moving from, being if you demonstrate expertise in content, then you're doing thought leadership, to the thought leadership position of that is incomplete. It's when you work from a deeper structure of thought leadership that it is effective. So here's one. If you only demonstrate your expertise in content, you risk being seen as another voice in the crowd. May be impressive, but easily ignored, and you risk being seen as egotistical. However, if you work from a deeper structure of thought leadership, you can guide your audience to new transformative insights, being meaningful influence that inspires action. That's called the AB outcome pattern. Number two, isn't it a sign of true leadership to elevate the conversation to values and mental models, rather than simply showcasing expertise in content? That's called the higher values pattern. Number three, thought leadership is like steering a ship towards uncharted waters. Just demonstrating expertise is like adjusting the sails without a map. You look skilled, but you won't guide your audience to a meaningful destination. That's the metaphors pattern. And finally, number four, it's not about how knowledgeable you appear to your audience. It's about how much clarity and transformation you inspire. And that requires a deeper structure to your thought leadership. That's called the shift the outcome pattern. And those are just a few examples. If you like a workshop style podcast that goes deeper into these language patterns of influence, of which there are about 20 with multiple variations on each, that we use in the thought process, drop me a line or reach out to me on X or LinkedIn. These links are in the episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com. So if you're listening on an app, it's in the description. If you control the definition of success in your field, you become the most trusted authority within it. So step three is using double loop learning to question the system itself. Most people engage in single loop learning. This is a systems thinking term, trying to optimize results within an existing system rather than questioning if the system itself is flawed. Double loop learning goes deeper. It challenges whether the entire approach needs rethinking. It brings values, beliefs, and assumptions into the learning loop. So instead of asking, how do I get more engagement on Facebook, a thought leader using double loop learning asks, what are the assumptions behind using Facebook as a primary channel? What different ways of thinking about online engagement are there? And what's the purpose behind wanting engagement? And what are other ways to think about achieving that? Instead of asking, how do I improve my SEO ranking, a thought leader asks, what do I assume SEO will do for me? What other ways can I achieve that? Like, should I create a category-defining concept that makes my brand the source of new industry language. Working within an old model limits you to incremental improvements. Questioning the model itself leads to breakthroughs. In creating breakthroughs, it's often easier. Making a big jump in progress is often easier than making incremental gains as a result. So step four is be strategic about challenging sacred cows, because some beliefs are so ingrained that challenging them directly can trigger resistance instead of curiosity. Think about a sports fan with a favorite team. If you tell a lifelong fan their team is terrible, they won't engage with your reasoning. They'll defend it because they identify with the team. People can identify with their beliefs. Industries work the same way. If you attack an assumption too aggressively, people won't evaluate your argument. They defend their worldview. So instead of attacking sacred cows head on, find high leverage opportunities for thought leadership where the friction is lower and the payoff perhaps even higher. And there's more on picking your battles in thought leadership in another podcast episode that I'm also linking on this episode page. So you don't break old beliefs by attacking them necessarily. You introduce a new belief that better satisfies core values, so you gain rapport with your audience around acknowledging their values. And then through that rapport, you can respectfully lead them to embrace your new models for their own best interest. And finally, step five is introducing a superior mental model packaged within a thought leadership model in the structure of thought leadership positions. Make it actionable. A great thought leadership model isn't just an idea. It's a better way of thinking that leads to better results. So your new model should help your audience make better decisions, help them extract more value from your category, and better fulfill their higher values. Once it's introduced, you can reinforce it consistently with stories and metaphors like the Mapmaker's Adventure. Practical applications that prove the new model's effectiveness, and a structured campaign that makes a new model feel inevitable. And what I found is that using this structure, generating these talking points creates a library of talking points and thought leadership positions that make online marketing easier and much more coherent. It lends a coherent flavor and a sense of theme to a campaign. So final thoughts are that we don't navigate reality directly. We navigate through mental models, and these models can be revised, upgraded, and rewritten. The question is, who is writing them? Who are the people playing the games, and who are the game designers? Are outdated beliefs constricting your industry or your field or your profession? Or are your competitors defining the landscape for you and your prospective audience, the market segment? Or are you stepping into the role of the map maker, creating new models that empower your audience and reshape your market? Are you ready to start shaping the way your market thinks?
Thought Leadership Studio.
Thanks again for listening to Thought Leadership Studio. I'm your host, Chris McNeil, strategic thought leadership coach and consultant. And this has been episode 91, The Mapmaker's Adventure in Thought Leadership, a masterclass on mental models for strategic thought leadership, where we discussed the Mapmaker's Adventure, rewriting maps, why innovation requires exploration, a new way of navigating, and we navigate through maps, not directly through reality. Rewriting the rules, thought leadership as mental model mastery, how to work with mental models for market leadership and influence, and final thoughts on thought leaderships being map makers. Thanks again for listening. Make sure that you go to our episode page on thoughtleadershipstudio.com for additional resources and a curated transcript of this episode. While you're there, don't forget to explore additional resources to elevate your influence and impact. Download the free ebook, Marketer's Guide to Strategic Thought Leadership, or schedule a free consultation with me to discover how the thought process of strategic thought leadership can help you lead with greater clarity and purpose and elevate and empower all the marketing and communication you do. And finally, if you enjoyed this episode, I'd love for you to share it with someone who could benefit from the insights shared today. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to help us bring more of this kind of content to listeners like you. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time on Thought Leadership Studio.
Thought Leadership Studio.